saying, "How durst he say those vain words so impudently in the face of the king? Thou hast made the whole world subject. Thou, by fortune, hast made thy estate as gold. From all parts of the east and west, sultans, without opposition, bring tribute to thee. Kings are rubbing their lips joyfully on the dust of thy threshold, O mighty emperor. When the enemy horse sees our horse, it turns its face and flees without flogging. Hitherto thou hast been worshipped and adored by the world."
Exactly. This is it. What was it? You see, bring it all together. The answer is this, that you have all this stuff that you should give up. It's not just giving up the fellowship. You are comfortable, everybody is kissing your feet, the kings will pay you and blah, blah, blah. All the advent. This is why Pharaoh came to him. Because these are the subjects that he could think about. What is his job? He's a vizier. Means he should organize all this stuff and take care of it. So Pharaoh knew that this guy knows that what I should miss, and this guy could not like it. Yes.
"Thou wilt become the meanest of slaves. To go into 1,000 fires is better than this, that a lord should become the servant of a slave. Nay, kill me first, O king of China, that mine eye may not behold this in the king. O emperor, behead me first, that mine eye may not behold this ignominy. Truly, never has there been, and never may there be, such a thing as this."
Of course he doesn't want this. Look at it, how he talks, that you are a god and you will become somebody who prays and a slave. This is what I don't like really here. It's not that you come down. You should bring the others up. Remember that and kill me. Kill me first because I don't want to see this. Yes?
"Truly, never has there been, and never may there be, such a thing as this, that the earth should become the sky, and the sky become the earth. Our slaves should become our fellow servants. Our timorous ones should become those who wound our hearts. Enemies bright-eyed, and friends blind. Then the rose garden has become for us the bottom of the tomb."
Why? He's making up all of this. Look at it. Is there any reason for this or any logical stuff here? No. Just words and words and words to the extreme that this will make all our enemies' best eyes and all our friends blind. Why? How? This is just the hatred of coming down because you're asking me to give up me, the capital I. You remember that big ego? That's what it is. Yes.
"Showing the falsity of Haman's speech."
Yeah, because Rumi knows that he listened to this speech and said, okay, that Samovich said something nasty. No, you should understand it because he is saying this to you every single moment. Beyond your ears, you will hear this. Yes.
"He did not know friend from enemy. He was playing backgammon wrong, like a blind man. Thy enemy is none but thyself, O accursed one. Do not despitefully call the innocent enemies."
Is there any highlight over there? Do you remember we talked about this? That you have no enemy except yourself. Whatever really bad stuff I do to me, I do it. Of course I try to blame others. That's something else. We talked about it. But this is the basic stuff that this vizier doesn't understand. Pharaoh doesn't understand. ego doesn't understand that my enemy is really me. Yes.
In thy sight, this evil state is Dalat, whereof the beginning is Dawadal, and the end Lat. If by degrees thou do not run away from this worldly fortune, autumn will come o'er this spring of thine. East and west have seen many like thee, whose heads have been severed from their bodies. After all, how should east and west, which are not permanent, make anyone enduring? Thou takest pride in the fact that men, from fear and bondage, have become thy flatterers for a few days. When men bow in adoration to anyone, they are cramming poison into his soul.
Do you get it? Because one of the advantages he counted for Pharaoh was that the kings will kiss your feet. The people appreciate you. You see, the appreciation of the people will fool you. That's the only advantage of it. What else is? You don't really get it that when you receive a lot of compliment, the first and second is joyful, is good. When it's repeated, yes, you become fool and you believe it. Then you become arrogant. Means His Majesty. Don't forget the Pharaoh means arrogant. Yes.
When this adorer turns away from him, he knows that that was poisonous and destructive to him. Oh, blessed is he whose carnal soul was abased. Alas for him who became like a mountain from arrogance.
Yeah, this is Rumi. Listening to that guy, did you understand that being proud that the people, out of fear, they respect you? This is stupid. Because this is a poison being fed to you. Wait a minute. Let me make it clear. The guy is clever who zallat nafsuhu, means he brought his ego down. The fellow who pushes the ego down will become a good fellow, not the other one which will do the opposite, like the example I'm giving you here. Yes.
Know that this pride is a killing poison. That fool was intoxicated by the poisonous wine.
That pride, I doubt it. I prefer arrogance, because takabbur means pretending that you are big. That's takabbur. It's more arrogance than pride. Yes?
When an unhappy wretch drinks the poisonous wine, he nods his head in delight for one moment. After one moment, the poison falls on his spirit. The poison exercises sway over his spirit. If you have not firm belief in its being poisonous, what poison it is, look at the people of Ard.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember the Ard people? Oh, we talked about it, and that's something that was the subject of the paper you're preparing now and writing down. Remember the story of Abraham? We talked about it. I said, think about it and look at the symbolism over there and how does it work. Here, Rumi goes to what? Do you remember the odd people? Odd people were a group of people who had everything. And everything was fantastic. They wanted more. And do you remember the story how they vanished because of that arrogance, that stupidity? But the problem is this. Imagine someone drinking some poisonous wine. He doesn't know it's poison, so he'll enjoy it. Loves it. But later, the poison will work and will kill it. So this is what happened to those people. At the beginning, they didn't know that they are Ad and Samud. None of them understood that what they are doing when they were facing this belief. This is what happens to everyone. I'm talking about belief, yes?
When one king gains the upper hand over another king, he kills him or confines him in a dungeon. But if he find a fallen, wounded man, the king will make a plaster for him and bestow gifts on him. If that pride is not poison, then why did he kill the king without crime or offense?
Normally, this is what it happens, and my question is this. Normally, if a king finds another king, we'll kill him.
Normally, a king, when he finds some poor fellow, he'll give him something. Why?
This is the same fellow, right? Same heart, same thought. The problem is with the subject. That other king will not come down. That other king wants to kill him. But that fellow, poor fellow, doesn't want to kill him, doesn't give. This is how it is. Means, when you are arrogant, you are competing with everyone because you want to be the king of the king. Are you really? Are you worth it to be the king of the king? Give me a break. This is this fellowship. That's what takabbur is. A mutakabbir, an arrogant fellow, wants to be at the top no matter what, no matter where and in which subjects. That's what it is. Yes.
And how did he treat this other man kindly without having, without service? From these two actions you may recognize pride. No highwayman ever attacked a beggar. Does a wolf ever bite a dead wolf? Chesed made a breach in the boat in order that the boat might be saved from the wicked. Since the broken one will be saved, be thou broken. Safety lies in poverty. Enter into poverty.
What was this? You remember? Ah, yeah. This is where Moses was kicked out. Do you remember? Ah, Khodar said to Moses, get out of here, you son of a gun. Talk too much. Because when Moses found Khidr, Moses wanted to follow Khidr. Why? Because Moses dies, Khidr doesn't die. Remember? That green fellow is here forever. So he is the best of the prophets. Moses wants to go with it. He said, you better not, because I know you. I know you even talked with him, challenged him. You're a bad fellow. No. He said, no, please, please, please. He said, okay, one condition. Zip it. Ah, Rumi made this story to let you understand the necessity of this zipping. Not talking too much. Okay, they went in, and the things happened. The first was they wanted to cross the river, and they found a little boat, they crossed, and Khidr ruined the boat. Moses said, this is for poor people, we found it, we use it, why do you break it? It's a zip. When you went away. Then, at the night, they were the host of someone. In the morning, when they were leaving, Khidr killed the boy of that fellow, the only boy they had. Khidr, they were kind to us, we were host here, and blah, 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 blah. Zip. Third time, he had to work himself. He said, go and get some mud and brick. Let's repair this wall